This is the 3-year anniversary of Touchstone Christian Fellowship. We held our first Sunday morning worship service on the first Sunday in October 2004. And on that opening day, I began the teaching by saying this is the first day of the building of a new family. And this idea of building a family has remained a core idea of this church since that time. I then put up this image, which has become part of the folklore of Touchstone, the infamous brick. This brick symbolized where we were starting in that building process. We have come a long way over the past 3 years, and we obviously have a long way still to go. But God has been faithful to us as we have sought together to build a New Testament church in our city, in our generation. One of the things that I want to do today is take some time to review where we have come since those first days, and in particular, where we have come over the course of the past year or so. At our 1-year anniversary, some of you might remember, I made reference to the idea of Ohana, which forms the foundation for the story of the movie Lilo and Stitch. Some of you who have children, you've seen this movie probably many times. I know I've seen it probably 40 times, maybe. Ohana is the Hawaiian word which translates roughly into English as family. And the phrase used in the movie to capture the meaning of the word ohana is this: no one gets left behind or forgotten. This is the idea of family that we're aiming for here at Touchstone. No one gets left behind or forgotten. We are a family. We look out for each other. We take care of each other. We laugh together. We cry together. We celebrate together. We grieve together. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The core vision of Touchstone is this: to be a New Testament church. To some, that may sound modest, small-minded, quaint. But to think that reveals an unbiblical, low view of the church. The church, as God intends it to be, is a new kind of community unlike anything else in the world. The church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And it's the instrument that God has chosen to work through to redeem and transform humanity by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is to be a community of people who follow Jesus Christ, living out in our time and culture the teachings and the examples that he gave us, and reaching across all cultural, all social barriers to share his message of hope with others. Our mission statement is Ephesians 4:11 through 16. It says, it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Sitting at the foundation of this passage of Scripture is the idea that every Jesus follower, every Christian, every believer has been called by God into ministry of some kind. There are works of service for each of us to do. And it's the job of the pastors and teachers to prepare, to equip, to make ready God's people for those works of service. One of the basic goals of Touchstone is to see every believer in this church engaged in meaningful ministry of some kind at some level using your gifts and talents and interests and energy to serve and to bless others, expressing God's grace in tangible ways, glorifying Christ with your life. God designed and intended the church to be a volunteer organization, not a group of professionals. Romans 12:4, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The power of the church is realized when everyone in the church is offering their lives, their gifts, their resources to God through the church to work out God's redemptive plan in the world. That's a big goal. I put together a little slideshow for you guys. It's kind of catalogs where we've been over the last 3 years or so, in particular the last year. So let's turn the lights off and let's all watch that before we go on. I usually save this next thing till the last item in these kinds of talks, but I want to talk about it near the beginning today instead, and that is the financial position of the church. First, I want to just go over briefly the vision and philosophy that we have here at Touchstone about giving. We don't take an offering here during the worship services at Touchstone, as is commonly done in churches in this country. In fact, we rarely even mention money. Instead, we have offering boxes near the doors for you to use to worship God through your giving and to support the church. One of the negative stereotypes that people have about churches in this country is that they are always talking about money and pressing people to give. And sadly, that stereotype has been earned. At Touchstone, we want to do everything that we can to remove things that might hinder people from having a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And removing money from the middle of the worship service is one of those things. Having offering boxes, rather than practicing some variation of passing the hat, is the way that the early church did it too, actually. So we are very old school in the way that we do this. Although the collection plate has been removed from the middle of the service, that doesn't mean that the church doesn't have need of financial support, because it does. Giving is an important part of our worship of God. It expresses our dependence upon the Lord, our recognition that all we have comes from the Lord, and that He owns us and all that we have and all that we are. Giving is an important part of sharing in the work of the church with each other. When we give to our church, we participate in everything that goes on in and through this church, and we share in the rewards of it. We're pooling our resources together to accomplish what we could never do as individuals. The Lord has blessed each of us differently. So the scripture tells us that we're to give in proportion to our means. And it's important that we each give our fair share financially, in order for there to always be enough for the church to do all that God has called us to do and intended for us. If you're a part of this church and believe in the work that it's doing, I'm asking you to become an active and consistent financial supporter if you're not yet. Those of you who are financially supporting the church, I and everyone else in this church sincerely thanks you for your generosity and your obedience to the Lord, because we are all benefiting from it. Now, the financial numbers for the past 12-month period. I rarely make mention of money as part of our church services, and I do not intend to change that. However, all of us who are a part of this family need to take our responsibilities in this area of the church life seriously. If we each gave as we are directed in Scripture, we will never have a shortfall. We will always have more than enough. It's been one of my personal goals, and I know many of you know this, that this is one of my goals from the very first day of the church, to save as much as possible now, so that when the day for acquiring a more permanent home arrives, we will be ready for it without ever having to have a so-called capital campaign to raise money. I believe this is something that you want to see happen too. We need to commit ourselves to it though. I need your help in doing that. So let's commit ourselves to it and give cheerfully and abundantly now and always as God directs us to, so that we will never have anything like that in our future. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." I want to look back now over the past year or so. There are so many things that I could and should mention that have taken place over the past year. God has done so many great things through so many of you, and I was forced to just select a few things for special mention. But before I do that, I want to at least list a number of other things that people are involved in here at the church. To begin with, there are the myriad of people, and many of you are those people, who help out with Sunday morning worship services week in and week out. People who help with the sound system, media presentation, coffee making, treat bringing, hospitality tables, information tables, setting up chairs, pulling the storage trailer, loading and unloading the storage trailer, worship music, greeters, room decorating, the bulletin, and last but certainly not least, children's ministry, telling stories, performing puppet shows and skits, leading worship, helping with crafts, rocking babies, and serving snacks. Sounds almost like a Dr. Seuss book there for a minute, didn't it? I should have made it all rhyme so that it really was like that, but there are time constraints that a person is faced with, you know, as well as creativity constraints. There were a number of events this past year, too, including the all-church retreat, the women's retreat, the men's retreat, the youth winter retreat, the spring barbecue, the baptism and picnic at Sly Park, the men's trap shoot, Christmas for the homeless outreach, Easter extravaganza outreach, Financial Peace University, just walk across the room, small groups, several other small groups, monthly ladies' nights out and monthly men's breakfasts. The meals ministry provided many meals for people who were sick or grieving, and countless prayers were offered for the requests that were made. I want to mention a few things from the church in particular this morning. And the first is I want to mention Dinner Club. And I want to mention Dinner Club for a couple of reasons. First, it has grown to be a tremendous ministry in the church, serving to connect people together on a much deeper level than would be possible just attending Sunday morning services. I mentioned before how important it is, this sense of family. And the Dinner Club has been a huge contributor to helping that grow and develop. Dinner Club is a very simple idea. People are put into groups to share monthly dinners together at a home. And this gives people the opportunity to get to know each other and have fun doing it. About half the people in this church are involved in Dinner Club. I believe things like Dinner Club will be key to maintaining a family feel at Touchstone, even as the church grows in numbers. The second reason that I want to mention Dinner Club is because it is a great example of a grassroots ministry. It was not an idea that originated with myself or anyone else on the church staff. It came from some of you. And some of you are the ones who actually carry it forward and make it happen. That kind of thing is very important because it is the realization of one of the core ideals of Touchstone, that God has called every single one of us to some kind of ministry. This church needs to be much more than just Jeff's ideas being carried out. Not all of my ideas are even good. And even the good ones, they're limited in scope. In order for our church to be a full expression of Christ, we need the best Spirit-inspired contributions from all of us. The next ministry I wanted to mention is serving seniors. This is another grassroots outreach ministry of the church, which has grown to include two assisted living facilities now. The people in serving seniors bring the church to people in these facilities who cannot go out to church anymore. They lead people in prayer and worship songs and Bible devotions, and they spend time visiting them and just making them feel like they count. It's a growing population that we have in this country. And these people are so often overlooked and neglected. And it is great to see our church responding to this need, serving these people. The truck stop ministry, yet another one of the grassroots outreach ministries in this church, is the truck stop ministry. Well, what is that, some of you are asking? The National Ministry Transport for Christ has a semi-truck cargo trailer that has been converted into a chapel that's parked at the Sacramento 49er truck stop. And people from Touchstone help staff that chapel, doing Bible teaching, praying with truck drivers, being a listening ear for the lonely and the broken, and helping people find answers from Scripture for life. Touchstone has also provided several hundred CDs of teaching over the past year for truckers to take with them and to listen to on the road. There are about 10,000 trucks a month that pass through that truck stop. And the parking lot there holds about 300 trucks at a time. So you can imagine, there are a lot of folks passing through that truck stop. Missions. In the vision talk that I gave back in May of last year, and some of you may remember that, I stated that I would like to see every able-bodied person in our church go on at least one short-term mission trip sometime in their life. These trips are life-changing for the people who go on them. It gives you a new perspective about how God is working all over the world. It grows your faith. You learn dependency on the Lord. You're humbled. You have fewer things that you take for granted about your life. It makes you a better human being. It matures your character. You walk closer with God. You bring that missionary attitude back home with you so that you have a bigger heart for reaching out to the people even around you here. Since May of last year, 6 short-term mission trips have been taken with about 40 people from our church participating. That is about 1 out of every 4 people in this church went on a short-term mission trip this last year. That is an amazing level of participation and involvement. One of those trips was a youth group mission trip to Mexico, and it had a huge impact on the students who went on that trip. This church, when I say this church, it's you guys, not me cutting a check for something. It's this church, you people, gave over $29,000 last year to missions. We've also established Touchstone Missions to help facilitate mission trips and to educate our church about missions and acquire a global perspective about the gospel of Christ. One of the ways that's being done is through the monthly mission meetings that we have that take place on Sunday afternoons over at the church office. At these meetings, we hear trip reports from the people who have gone on trips. We hear about other mission opportunities. We pray for missions. And if you've not come to one of these meetings before, I really encourage you to come. I think you'll find it interesting and challenging. Also, a service ministry inspired by some of the mission trips was started a few months ago here at the church called Grace Works. It provides help with home repairs and odds and ends jobs for people who can't afford to have that work done professionally or are unable to do it themselves because of health limitations. Typical recipients are low-income senior citizens who no longer have the ability to care for their residences in this way. Touchstone Tales Theater. In the vision talk that I gave back in May of last year, I also mentioned the local community outreach event that we had done the year before called Puppets and Stuff. Some of you might remember that. It was right out here at the park. It included some puppet shows, some carnival games, and the giving away of about 100 backpacks with school supplies to neighborhood kids. I said that I really hoped that we would be able to do more outreaches like that to connect with the community. Well, little did I know where all that was headed. Because since then, the core of that outreach ministry has become much more focused and expanded and is now what we know as Touchstone Tales Theater, a traveling puppet show complete with sing-alongs and craft time where kids make their own puppets. Over the past year, Touchstone Tales Theater has done 24 shows, if I counted right, at various community events, children's hospitals and such, including the Sacramento County Fair and the California State Fair, touching the lives of many, many children and introducing thousands of people to this church. I want to read a portion from a blog that was written by another pastor here in town from another church. I don't know this man. We have no association with this man or this church. But he happened upon Touchstone Tales Theater at the Sacramento County Fair this summer when we were doing that, and he wrote an entry in his blog about his impressions of that. It's titled, God at the County Fair. Yesterday, my wife, son, and I went to the Sacramento County Fair at Cal Expo. While we were looking around, we stopped for a while at a group of young adults singing songs and entertaining children. One was playing a guitar. A couple of others were helping the kids with rhythm movements. They sang songs like Hokey Pokey and Teapot. Then the puppet stage started up with a little story with a moral lesson. My newly awakened missional, open my eyes to see you, Lord, at work, mind started thinking. This could be a good way to make inroads into the community, I thought. Then I started looking around a bit more. Their name was Touchstone Tales Theater, and the logo on the puppet stage looked like it could be a Christian symbol, but it wasn't real prominent. Is this a Christian group? I looked a little closer. While the out front people leading the kids were in their 20s, there were also a number of older adults standing behind tables set with craft supplies for another activity for the kids. They were all wearing the same colored smocks with their logo. This looks like an intentional Christian enterprise. I decided to walk over and pick up one of their brochures. Yep, it was a church, all right. The presentation was a sample of what they do in their kids' ministry on Sundays. I thought it was a very cool approach to get exposure to their ministry. Then I picked up another brochure they had that described this ministry. This was not just what they do on Sundays. They also perform in parks, libraries, hospitals, and schools. It was their philosophy statement that really caught my missional attention. Quote, our performances are generally non-religious. We believe the church should be a presence in our community and that instilling in children an appreciation for the arts will improve our community. If a group requests a biblically themed event, we can provide that, but Touchstone Tales Theater exists primarily to serve the whole community, providing a service many public institutions are no longer able to. Unquote. Wow! That is an intentional, incarnational, missional attempt to be in the community, making a difference. Even if it does not build the organization of the local church, it does expand the kingdom with a capital K and righteous reign of God. That's what I'm talking about, he says, being in the world, not of the world, for the good of the world. That was a report about what you're doing. It's hard to believe that this little church has done so much in 1 year. I don't know where you get all the energy. If you're sitting here and you're wondering today perhaps how you can be involved in these things, first off, there's plenty of room. Okay? And the second thing is grab a Get Involved directory at the information table. It'll give you a description of many of these different ministries and how you can be involved in them. Also, be sure to check the website regularly. It is a great source of information. It is constantly updated. It's very unlike some church websites that are updated about every 6 months. Our website is updated all the time, almost daily. So it is a great place to go for information about what's going on here at the church. I'd like to speak for a moment about mission over survival. It's really important that we never settle for survival instead of living the mission that God has called us to. This is a point that was brought out in the teaching at Man Camp a few weeks ago in the story of Gideon. At the beginning of the story, we find the people of God living in caves, hiding from their enemies, just trying to hang on as best that they can. We find Gideon himself threshing wheat inside of a wine press of all things, hiding from the enemy. Surviving is all they are reaching for with their life. But God had much more for them than just surviving. He had a mission for them. But mission involves work, and it is something that needs to be fought for. They, on the other hand, had settled for what the enemy was willing to give them and what came easy. And because they settled for simply surviving, they lived a very diminished life, a life far beneath what God had intended for them. But when Gideon and those with him embraced the mission of God and they began living for that, they came to life. And the people around them began to be blessed by God through them. Now, a similar story can play out in the life of our church. See, when we were a brand new church with little more than a brick and a few ideas, we didn't have much that we needed to worry about in regards to survival. I mean, we had very little to protect and preserve at that point. But as we move further along, the stakes for survival go up as we acquire stuff to protect and preserve, whether that stuff is actual things or reputations or whatever. And the drive for survival can overshadow the mission if we allow it to, but we must not let that ever happen. We have not been called by God to simply survive. That's not our mission. We've been called into a mission, and God wants us to get into the fight and stay in the fight and live for the mission that He has for us, always. Interestingly, Jesus, He told us to leave the surviving part to God and to focus on mission. Remember back in Matthew chapter 6, what did He say? He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. God knows you have need of all those things, and He'll take care of that things. You instead, He said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Focusing on survival makes us small-minded and directionless. We want to live for the mission, inspired by a vision that comes by revelation from God. That is living a full life. I've included a questionnaire in your bulletin this morning, and some of you may have already noticed it. I'd like everyone to take the time to fill that out and drop it in the offering box on their way out today. Two things about it. First is I don't want you to put your name on the questionnaire. These are intended to be anonymous. I don't want to know what your name. I don't want that on there. I want you to feel completely free to be as critical or as positive as you feel that you really want or need to be. Second, filling out the questionnaire is optional, but I would really appreciate hearing your feedback. This is your church. This is your church. And I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what kinds of things your church is doing that are genuinely of value for you. And I want to know what kinds of things your church could be doing to be more of a help for you. In closing this morning, words cannot adequately express my personal gratitude for the privilege of being part of such an awesome group of people. You're amazing. You are amazing. The church that God has created through you is a very beautiful thing. You're making the church of the New Testament a reality in the 21st century. Through you, God is making an impact in this world. Through you, God is affecting the lives of many people. Through you, God is adding value to the lives of the people in this city. Through you, God is making this community better because Touchstone Christian Fellowship is in it than it would be otherwise. You've added to the beauty of God's redeeming work in this world, as the song that played for the slideshow says. You're bringing glory to Jesus Christ. You're bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting me be a part of what God is doing in you and through you. I want to close by reading the passage from Hebrews 10:23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you for what you have done and are doing in our lives and in our church, Lord. You're an awesome God, and you have done awesome and beautiful things. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to participate in your work. We thank you that you let us work beside you. Hold your hand, walk with you, God, as you do these things among us. And we look forward, Lord, to all that you are going to do over the next year. We give you all the glory, Lord. For you are the one who is worthy and deserve it all. In Christ's name, amen.